Broadcasting from the super secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, this is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Stand by. Accessing primary security protocols. Your access has been approved. Welcome to Level 11P7.
Welcome everyone to this episode of Level 11P7, episode number 52 here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Ooh, one for every week of the year.
One for every week of the year. You know, I could make a DC New 52 comment, maybe, but
that very would inappropriate.
Be the wrong publisher,
wrong show.
Wrong comics universe here. Welcome everyone. This is our discussion of the Marvel universe, specifically at this point, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The episode One Door Closes. My name is Jason Hunt, and joining me around the air hockey table, which acts as our studio facility here, Cammy Settle is here.
Hello.
Maya Aides is here.
Yo-de-yo.
Dan Henley is here.
Hello.
And Timothy Arvey.
Hello.
And here we go. Now, for those of you who are joining us for the very first time, welcome. Thank you for joining us. For those of you who are regulars, I have a request, and this is, I'm going to do this before we get into discussion of the plot. I have a request. I would like to see how many of you out there could be our ambassador, could be our advocate. Share the link, share us on social media, share us on Twitter and Facebook and all that.
Inflict us on the world.
Yeah, because right now we're relying on word of mouth more than anything else.
We don't have enough mouths.
Well, no, we do have regulars, and we do appreciate our regulars, but we'd like to have more regulars. So I'm just gonna put it out
regulars.
there at the very beginning of this episode that we would like to have more regulars.
Invite your friends. Being regular is good.
Yes.
At the risk of losing them, please invite your friends.
Yes. So
invite your friends, invite your enemies, invite everyone.
Inflict this on your enemies. That's right. Okay, so plot. It's kind of straightforward episode tonight.
Yes. Back and forth.
No.
Well, for a given
value of straightforward, considering that we actually get S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of being a spy show on several levels here today.
Well, yeah. We got some backstory tonight.
We did.
Yeah.
Yep. When you look back to the day S.H.I.E.L.D. fell.
The day S.H.I.E.L.D. fell. I was actually surprised how much of that they gave us.
They gave a lot.
Because there was... I mean, I realize it wasn't the movie set, but it was still seemed a lot bigger than a lot of what we've seen on the show. So
It's interesting that you say that because I was looking at it and seeing what looked like a couple of repurposed sets within the bounds of the carrier, the aircraft carrier. But you're right. It did feel a little bit bigger. It did feel like there was a little bit more
people
in the budget. Yeah,
more people that we saw.
And
more
I think
extras.
That's probably what it was. There were more bodies.
Mm-hmm. You know,
more stuff
on both sides, both the Coulson S.H.I.E.L.D. and Gonzalez S.H.I.E.L.D. There were more bodies.
And they were proverbial red shirts.
So we're gonna call them. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna call them Coul S.H.I.E.L.D. and Gonzo S.H.I.E.L.D., right? That's how we'll separate the two.
Excellent.
Right? So let's deal with the flashback stuff first. So Mac and Bobby are on the carrier, and this is what, as far as I can tell, this is an aircraft carrier, not a helicarrier.
Right. They're talking about sinking it. So the implication is that it's an aircraft.
And it's under the command of Commander Robert Gonzalez, who is not in a Navy uniform. Thank you very much. He's probably commander, like James Bond was
commander.
Well,
he's a S.H.I.E.L.D. commander. We're not necessarily looking at a straight across-the-board Navy breakdown.
Or it could be a S.H.I.E.L.D. carrier, just not a S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier.
That's true. Right. So we've got that back and forth with Hydra and S.H.I.E.L.D. fighting for control of the carrier.
Yes, and among the mayhem.
Among the mayhem, Bobby has orders from Nick Fury to sink the ship.
Right. Well, her first mission is to rescue Gonzalez.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But then
and
she reveals, after they've gotten him stabilized, that she has a second mission.
She has a mission within the mission. And where have we heard that before?
No idea.
Funny, it took place on the exact same day.
Yeah, well, see...
Roughly.
And It does, and I think that's one of the reasons why it feels like it's part of a bigger thing, is because what Bobby is saying, you know, she's got other orders besides the mission. It's exactly the same kind of thing that we had with Black Widow on the boat, right, at the beginning of Winter Soldier.
Right.
So there is some consistency there with the movies. You know, that callback, I think, helps also to say, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, because Fury does this, right? He compartmentalizes. And it also, I think, helps to reinforce the whole idea of Fury compartmentalizing things, and that's one of the reasons why there's this back and forth, these two different groups now vying for control of S.H.I.E.L.D., because Fury never talked to anybody. And there was all of these secrets and everything, and that's the beginning of this splintering among the various different S.H.I.E.L.D. groups.
Oh yeah, Gonzo S.H.I.E.L.D.
Gonzo S.H.I.E.L.D. and Cole S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well,
I'm gonna trademark that.
What gets me is Gonzo S.H.I.E.L.D. is, interestingly enough,
be careful how you say that, because it's Gonzo versus Gonzo. Gonzo, which is a different thing.
Yeah, but
actually, though, it does sound a little anime at this point now, doesn't it?
That's true. But what gets me though is that here they are, working in the shadows, working subversively, all because they didn't like the lack of transparency.
You know,
the irony is not lost.
Not
us. Yeah, but have we seen, and somebody was going to have to refresh my memory because I'm old and I've slept since the introduction of this real S.H.I.E.L.D. group. Have we seen something that indicates that this particular S.H.I.E.L.D. is acting in secret?
Well, yes.
Look at the double agents.
Tonight we did. We saw that.
That's in secret.
They're using Bobby, I think.
Well, no. Yeah. Well,
it was their
subversive
penetration of Cole S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, the clue to me was that when she said, hey, remember, this is one of our agents, use ICERs only. And there were some real guns coming out.
Yeah.
So there was another double agent in the group who had a second mission.
Right.
Well, there's, yes, they're definitely operating in secret because, first of all, the general public still believes S.H.I.E.L.D. to be a defunct organization.
Right.
So they're definitely still operating in secret, but they're also operating in secret from the folks who know that Coulson's S.H.I.E.L.D. is around. So the U.S. military knows that Coulson's S.H.I.E.L.D. is around, but they clearly don't know that this S.H.I.E.L.D. is around.
Right.
And we one of the things we didn't mention when we're talking about the carrier is the reason they're sinking it is because it has a cargo that Hydra cannot be allowed to have.
Right.
Which we do not find out what it is.
No,
we don't.
At least not yet.
Right. I mean, there's still a mystery at the core of this that.
And you have to wonder if that cargo is still there in present day, or if it got moved after they retook the carrier.
Right, so that's a good question. Hopefully we'll either get an answer, because quite frankly, you know, you don't just sit there and go, they cannot have this carrier's, you know, without there being like,
just
you know,
like him too.
We're making an assumption that they took back the carrier, because you know the whole Magnificent Seven standing your ground shot.
It's a great looking shot, and tactically it's dumb as hell.
Yes, it is. Although it worked in Star Wars also. I mean, if you remember when they blew the doors
Cool. It looks really, really cool, but tactically it's dumb as hell.
When they're in the the prison level, help me here. Cell block
823,
right? When they're getting ready to go down the tunnel, those stormtroopers are only coming in one door. It's a choke point.
It's defensible.
And it's same kind of thing here.
Eventually, you're
going to
run out of ammo. Here.
You know what?
You got a choke point.
You have a double set of double doors and enough well-trained Hydra agents on the other side of those double doors that someone's going to drop to his knees and open fire at waist level.
Or throw in a grenade.
Exactly. It's just tactically.
Well,
it's
yeah, but they also alluded just to the fact that there were hundreds of good guys on the ship as well.
Yeah, but you don't know where they are.
Keep in mind, during Vietnam, there were some of these guys who would stand up and fight like that. Now, granted, they tended to die.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it took a while before they died.
And the other thing too is they were in the server room, which may have made it more difficult because people are like, "Don't shoot the computers and sink the ship."
I really doubt they cared.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Maybe there just was no place to take over.
It's a pretty shot. Yeah.
It's a pretty shot.
It could have been just that room. There wasn't really good cover, you know, to hide behind. So you might as well just stand and fight.
Well, you know, the servers give off a magnetic field that throws off the aim. The bullets just kind of bounce everywhere.
Or the thing is...
it's a pretty shot.
You do realize this is all owned by Disney now.
That's right.
And they are now stormtroopers are doubling as the Hydra agents.
Same actors. Yeah, the same...
Same marksmen.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they're...
TK-241.
Look, since, you know, the economic... downturn. There is a shortage of really good quality minions, and so they are willing to go to work for, you know.
They're doubling up.
They're doubling up. Yeah. Really, it's got to get those hours in.
George right. Lucas right. does not have them exclusively.
How much? How long can we milk this? Do you think? I think we've gone past it. I think we're going past it. Okay, so that's the basics of the flashback stuff. We have Mac and we have Bobby. We have Isabel Hartley in the flashback. They are all on the boat. And they rescue Gonzalez, and instead of blowing up the boat, this is where we have the introduction of the real S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right. The whole
acting as a democracy with a board of directors rather than one person in charge at the beginning, because Bobby apparently knows more than anybody else in the room and says, well, maybe we ought to be doing it differently.
It still bothers me that they want to pretend that they are... that they don't have secrets and that they are operating out in the open
It would not be the first time that an organization of some kind
keeps secrets from itself.
Has deluded itself.
Yeah.
I think that was a convenient excuse.
Yeah,
I think
that
ultimately the real mission was to get rid of the alien blood.
Well, that could be because in modern time we've got the finally we have the invasion of the base.
Right.
Bobby sets off an EMP inside, shuts everything down, and we get a really nice fight scene of sorts between May and Bobby.
Mm-hmm. Although the person I was most proud of was Gemma.
That was a fun bit. Yeah.
Here, hold this.
It's like she knew. Yeah. I called that one.
You did.
You did. You totally did.
Yeah, you definitely did.
Well, because it's obvious when she's putting the gun in her belt, it's like, okay, hang on.
Right.
This is not
normal.
Hang on. Wait a minute. And then, you know, Bobby shows up and then she's acting like Gemma. I mean, it's like the paranoid schizophrenic from the last few weeks kind of disappeared tonight.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And
which
we
was
got
a good change
back.
Of pace.
Yeah, yeah, it was. Sure it was very nice.
Well,
to see
yes
her back
and no,
here.
Because she's.
Well, she's not having to deal with Skye, so we get.
Well,
she,
but no,
she
we
normal.
Did because we yeah, were we had her having the phone conversation with Skye.
Yeah.
And then we immediately had Fitz basically say, "So how's your science experiment?"
Right.
So he was the video conversation she was having with Skye felt very very forced.
I thought it was back to the I'm not saying that she's really
when
there.
When it comes to Skye, she has not changed.
But she didn't seem as forced or as plastic as she has in the last few
that's
weeks.
That's because Skye's like
removed.
A ways away.
Yeah. But she was very genuine
at
toward
the
her.
The House of Banner.
Versus
so.
The, oh, try the things on and they'll help you.
And that was a nice touch, I thought.
The House of Banner built.
The House of Banner built.
Complete with fist mark in the wall.
Yeah.
Well, and I kept, every time we went back to those scenes with Skye in the cabin, I kept sitting there going, this really looks like the cabin at the end of Incredible Hulk.
Right.
The Norton one.
Uh-huh.
Right.
This really looks like that one. Oh yeah, it is. There's that was nice. That. It was good to have that callback to
it's
that movie.
It's all connected.
Because that movie, out of all of them, that movie really is the redheaded stepchild out of this whole
yes.
Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Well, but
because
it's
the beginning, but it's technically it's really not the beginning.
Well,
because
it's still
Iron Man
in, it's still in continuity. It is still you know, even though they've recast the character, that film is still in continuity.
Which also, I think a lot of people forget.
Right.
Because everybody talks about Iron Man being the first one, and Incredible Hulk came out after that. I mean, they were both out about the same time, mm-hmm. and we don't get very many callbacks to the Incredible Hulk movie throughout the entire cinematic universe. We get all of the stuff, Iron Man, Captain America, and all this other stuff, but not Hulk.
The thing about the Hulk, though, is unless they go back and talk about Abomination, you don't really need to see the Hulk to know what's going on in the universe, whereas the others give you vital story to what's going on. Mm. Hulk didn't.
Mm-hmm. A little more impact in the whole...
Right, but see, the thing is too, you know, if they're going to bring in General Talbot, who historically has been a Hulk related character, why couldn't we have just one scene where he's having a video call with General Ross? Just something, you know, just bring in General Ross, just a real quick bit.
Oh, they will. They will. I think they ultimately will. Or at least they'll reference him.
I hope it's not the General Talbot that we had last week.
Yeah, well,
oh, you mean
yeah.
his
Yeah,
the comedy stylings of
cheap laughs.
Of Glenn Talbot.
We didn't really have too much of that this episode,
which was good.
That was a nice change of pace.
There wasn't
of course
room
they didn't
for
have
it.
Talbot this week either.
Yeah, but there also wasn't room for it. I mean,
I don't know. There was a couple of places where you could have done it with Coulson. You know, with that whole thing with Coulson and Gonzalez and Coulson and May, you know, to throw some lines in, you wouldn't be doing the comedy bit like you did with Talbot.
True,
but you know, we've all said that was a bad choice to make.
No,
anyway,
they saved our humor for the end. Actually, I mean, because the whole
with Hunter,
you know, with him
Hunter
and Hunter down
Coulson.
In Tahiti, I remember
wherever.
They were actually in the magical place.
That's right.
It did look like the same set that they've used before. Now, we've got, where are we at here? We've got we got the electromagnetic pulse.
Yep.
We've got...
And Bobby got Fury's toolbox.
Bobby got the toolbox. They set off the gas to knock everybody out.
Conveniently.
Except for May.
Conveniently, the entry point... was in the server room.
Right.
Which is a really terrible place to put your high explosives next to all the electronics.
Yes.
Of course, after the EMP, there's a lot of electronics there which are not functioning.
But why wipe out the computer room?
If anything's going to be coming back on, you don't want to blow a hole in it.
Right.
So it's, again, not only do we have the folks who are standing... standing right in front of the door when the other people are coming through, mm-hmm. we're also going to run the risk of, you know, wiping out all the information that we're trying to get. So, hey, good tactical planning on Shield's part.
Hand of the writer.
Again.
Gonzalez Shield.
Hand of the writer.
Gonzalez Shield. Yeah, Gonzalez Shield does not seem to have very good tactical planning.
Well, and the funny thing is...
In several areas.
Well, and we also got, you know, you talk about Hand of the Writer, and we've been saying from the beginning, why don't they just sit down and talk to each other? Coulson actually called Gonzalez on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And said, you know, you could have just come in and we could talk about it. Which makes me wonder, and we had talked about this while we were watching the show, and I'm thinking that Gonzalez's approach to all of this is built on the foundation, not that Coulson's team is infiltrated by Hydra, but the fact that he's under alien influence. And Gonzalez even said tonight, can you sit there and tell me that you're not under influence of some alien
that you're not
race?
Compromised.
Well, yeah, because he's basically, you know, thinking of Coulson as like the advance guard.
So maybe he thought that any kind of conversation with Coulson before they were ready would have tipped him off, maybe?
Well, it's so hard to tell because, honestly, this whole plan is predicated on the fact that they've decided that every decision that Fury made was wrong. They've decided that every, you know, Coulson having anything to do with being in charge or any of the, any, you know, they've automatically assumed that everything.
Everything on the Coulson side of S.H.I.E.L.D. is bad.
Well, they've just made, you know, this is the risk. We're going to assume that this is the correct answer. This is the fear. And there's a certain logic to that. I mean, you got to plan for that contingency. But I don't know. There's something.
They just see it as a well-intentioned disaster.
But yeah. you think something's still off kilter?
To me, something is still off kilter.
What do you mean by that? Yes.
Well, I think that Gonzalez has not played his complete hand.
Yeah, I think there's something that he's holding back on.
And I think that
maybe that has something to do with the cargo that we don't know about.
Could be, and also the fact that the teaser for next week seemed to imply that we're getting our final confrontation between the two of them next week, which is.
Not the season finale.
So I don't know. There's something doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel. I mean, it's a little too. As Phil pointed out, if this is a democracy, how come you're the only one in here talking to me?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If the five of you are running things, why is it just you and me? Right.
I thought it was interesting also that we've got Agent Weaver as part of that five.
Well, yeah.
Because she was at the wall. She was at the academy.
Mm-hmm. She was not on that.
She wasn't on the ship at the time it was attacked because she was at the academy. But
right.
You know, somewhere clearly, there has been some communication back and forth amongst the survivors. So why wouldn't any of them have called? Well, no, they thought Coulson was dead. But
did they?
Well, yeah, everybody thought Coulson was dead.
No.
Hold on.
Wait, because that's why they've been going after him. Is because. Fury brought him back.
This whole thing suddenly just does not make any sense to me.
For a specific reason.
Yeah. For a specific reason.
Because we had
an episode at the beginning of. We had an episode last season. We had two episodes last season. We had several episodes last season where Coulson was at a S.H.I.E.L.D. facility. With a lot of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The box.
Yes.
Yes.
The fridge. Wherever
the
else.
The academy.
Now, wasn't he
at the academy as well?
Oh, yeah.
So why have we gone all this time and not had this story come forth? Well, I know we haven't had the story before because the writers haven't written it, but but why go this long? There's going to have to be a real big leap of logic, the story logic, now to explain where these guys have been this whole time. Coulson has been walking around as director with all of these agents can see him.
Oh, now we know they've been stuck in committee.
Well, that's what happens with democracy.
Well, has the carrier been out somewhere that they didn't know what was going on?
That's a good question.
Didn't this basically come up when they were at the box before? Didn't I bring this up about, you know, he's surrounded by all these agents?
Yeah.
Won't he be dead?
Yeah. Won't people recognize him? Oh, wait. Isn't that?
Wait a minute. Didn't he die with the Avengers? Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is an inherent.
It just struck me. There's this huge hole that somebody is going to have to fill with story logic, and it's going to have to hold together, or this entire thing falls apart.
Your show does not make sense.
I challenge you, S.H.I.E.L.D. writers. Explain yourself.
Make it right. Fix it. There is a certain amount of
I'm not saying that it's broken yet. I'm just saying there's a huge hole that's missing.
There was a certain amount of hand wavium with him walking around in the first place because it's like only people at this level and above can know that you're back from the dead.
Right.
So we're going to put you in these rooms with all these people who are clearly not that level and above.
But how many of those people know who he is?
Okay.
Because up until that point, Agent Hand was in charge of the box.
Right, but you are the man who dies and basically creates the Avengers.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure there's a photo on the wall somewhere in S.H.I.E.L.D. HQ, probably all of them, that says, in memory of Phil Coulson,
unless,
who died so that blah, blah, blah.
Unless it's like the CIA and the ones who died undercover don't get their name on the wall. They have a star.
He was undercover.
Very high profile. It would have, I mean, you know, even because Fury had no way of knowing that he could save him. He had no way of knowing he could bring him back from the dead. So, guarantee you, and Fury was hardly the only person on top of on that helicarrier. Everyone else sits there and goes, I mean, you remember the outtakes where you've got Colby Smothers basically going, Coulson!
Yes.
Okay, seriously, there were people crying on that carrier because it's Phil Coulson.
Right.
So there's no way that they hid his death. So, yes. Okay. It didn't make any sense.
It was all over Facebook, too.
And the idea, yeah, it was all over Facebook. That's right. Well, you know what they say, blasted out?
It on Twitter.
Well, yeah, Twitter, it's like, RIP, Phil. Thank you for saving the world.
We still don't know what was in the information that Black Widow let loose.
Right. So, well, yeah. Certainly.
You know, there's a ton of stuff there, too.
So, yes. So, basically, what we have here is Phil Coulson, back from the dead, and S.H.I.E.L.D. adjusting. Spin wheels. Oh, my God, it's Hydra. Phil Coulson become, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. collapses.
Right.
Nick Fury says, only you can save us now, Phil.
Because you're an Avenger, Phil.
That's right. Yeah.
We made you an honorary Avenger.
No. He wasn't an honorary Avenger.
Full Avenger.
He was an Avenger.
This time we'll need Rick more than ever. Wait, wrong show. but it's the same, you know, so, and then all of a sudden these guys, you know, so they've, yes, they were fine with Phil. Apparently they were fine with Phil up until Fury died and S.H.I.E.L.D. fell. Now that S.H.I.E.L.D. is on, you know, now that S.H.I.E.L.D. is no more, quote unquote, no more, all of their suspicions about Phil seem to have risen to the surface. And the fact that...
Because he got set as director.
He got set as director, and because they were looking at the fact that that Fury kept the secrets that he kept, and that he compartmentalized in the way that he did. And so, if you don't trust Fury, if at this point you don't trust Fury, and you feel that Fury's mindset made it easier, which is what it kind of appears to be, by the thinking that they made it easier for Hydra to take them down, because Fury kept the pieces... None of the things, nobody talking to each other.
Mm-hmm. And we established some of that as well in Winter Soldier when Captain America called him on it.
Right. So
and
if.
Said, I got to know everything that's happening on my mission or else the mission is in danger of failing.
So if you're not trusting this guy and his handpicked successor is the guy you happen to know.
And he's full of alien blood.
Kind of died a bit.
A bit.
And then got better.
But he was just mostly,
mostly dead.
Dead.
Mostly.
Now, you know,
not dead.
Phil Coulson, now with more alien goo, yes. Your suspicions could potentially be quite high. However, again, we come back to the fact that, oh, is this a democracy? Because I only see you in here.
Yeah.
So there's more to it. And quite frankly, the reactions we got was we watched the team go to get as our team goes to get Sky.
Yeah, that didn't look anything like a democracy.
Yeah, well, we also have another moment where it's handed the writer because Bobby is a trained killer. Okay, she's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. She was actually she was actually undercover with Hydra.
Yes,
you know, she's quite capable of killing someone and pulling the trigger. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, she knows the sound of someone cocking a gun behind her.
Yeah, you would think so.
I don't care how much noise that plane is making. She's gonna hear it because it's her job. That's what keeps her alive.
And it was immediately after she said, "Icers only."
Yeah, Icers only.
Yeah,
she should have been one of those. Did I just not tell you the Icers only?
Except she's not the ranking officer.
But she would have reacted. She would have reacted.
But
and we don't. And then immediately
she has a relationship with Sky, and she went to be the friendly face.
Mm-hmm.
She
mm-hmm.
went, in fact, to be more than a friendly face. She went to ensure Sky's safety.
And then we also get the scene where basically the soldier who finds her, the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent who finds her,
also has a gun.
Yeah, that's not an Icer. He's got.
No, it's not an Icer either.
So clearly, I mean, there's a whole lot of, I just kill her. That's what we got here.
That was
Order 66.
Yeah.
I don't know who that guy was. What his name is? The guy who did the gun behind Bobby's back, Kirk.
Kirk Abbott.
But he's always wanting to kill people. He always has that look on his face like, oh, let's just kill him off.
Oh, you're talking, you're looking at the actor's
name.
Yeah,
well, yeah, he was in Fringe. He was great in Fringe. He's currently on...
No, I'm talking about the character.
Well, I know, but he's... But,
right.
But well,
we're just reestablishing that we all know who we're talking
the
about.
The actor kind of plays that character a lot. And he's
some
great
people
at it.
Make good careers out of that.
Oh, yeah.
He's on 12 Monkeys right now too. Mm-hmm. So in fact he's on 12 Monkeys and
I don't think the monkeys are too happy about it.
No, well. Actually, the monkeys are really happy he's on well, right now.
Well, lucky for Skye, she had a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Yeah.
Yes.
So well, she was visited
Gordon.
Earlier.
She had two, actually. Because May said, this is where you can shut down the fence.
Right.
Yeah, May hid
shut down
shadows.
The fence of the cabin in the woods with a laser fence, which, by the way, again, is a cabin in the woods. It's got to be a cabin in the woods reference.
It has to be.
It just has to be.
Well, and as she's there at the control box... to shut down the laser grid. That's when Bobby and Agent Hootsie What's It shows up.
Kirk.
And
was that the official name of the character?
Yes.
Hootsie What's It.
Okay.
And fires on her.
Mm-hmm.
And Skye has been primed now because we got our little hand wavium with the water and the tap, and she's, ooh, this is cool. I can actually
she's
maybe
starting
do
to,
something
to,
with this.
To adjust
yes,
vibrations.
Yes, and let's just take a moment. The reason that she was able to do this thingy, what's it? The oh look, the little spiral effect is that she's been visited already.
Yes,
she's
yes.
been visited by
Gordon
by
the Reader.
Gordon the Reader, who is our blind and teleporting inhuman, who has the same teleport effects with a slightly different color as Nightcrawler. Mm-hmm. Little Marvel well, cross reference.
And what he does is he reaches out to her humanity side and he says, "Look, you know, nobody was there to help you transition.
Right? Mm-hmm.
You know, when I transitioned, I wasn't ready for it." But there was somebody there for me. Somebody embraced me.
Well, actually,
me when
he
it
had
happened.
Been prepared for years.
Right.
He had been prepped
and
for years
and
before
it was still
it happened.
Raised for it.
Yeah.
And so he's basically trying to appeal to her emotional side and say,
yes.
Look, I want to be that person for you. Or there are people here with us.
Well, and I also found it odd, interesting, that.
Curious.
Curious.
Odd, interesting, curious.
Because that was an opportunity right there to make a connection through his mother. Through her mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
he
her
didn't.
Mother was the one who mm-hmm. helped him transition.
Right, but does he know that that was the connection?
Well, that's what I'm wondering is
I don't know that he knows.
That would be of
right.
that
we'll
would
find
be
out
a
next
point.
Week.
Yeah, where they can do that.
But he does tell her, he advises her to reach out and feel the vibrations.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's her power
okay.
is the vibration.
Right, and that's my problem because we immediately go from that conversation mm-hmm. to maybe an hour later or whatever the time frame is suddenly she is
manipulating
it that kind of control.
I think she stumbled across
ta-da!
It.
It seemed accidental to me.
Well, I
until
so
she
too.
Started
yeah,
to kind of play with it.
But again, we're talking about really really fine control.
But this was not something that happened under duress. So
right.
typically, what we've seen is that these powers come out when she is under great stress.
Sure, right? But again, we come to something that is really really fine control.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And
but
and
she was relaxed and she was playing with it and having fun.
But again,
I'm going to give her
really
this one.
Fine control.
I don't know that she had control so much because she didn't really do anything except, oh hey, look at what I'm doing. It's not like she was a waterbender or
okay,
anything like
see,
that.
Okay, but see the water is coming out of a faucet. Okay,
right.
It is going down, right? Gravity is winning,
and
right?
And then it was zigzagging.
And then suddenly it's spiraling.
Oh, that's the
okay.
Coriolis right. effect. Come on.
Okay.
But
how is that a vibration anything?
Water has What's vibrations. Everything has vibrations.
The molecules.
It is frequency vibration, and a sound vibration will cause water to
sure, deal. But how did she hit upon it?
It was an accident.
Complete
I
accident.
Think by
uh-huh,
accident.
Of course it is. Okay. It's,
Which
no,
is why it didn't last very long.
It's a little too cute.
It didn't last very long.
It's
well,
a little too cute.
But
it's
a setup.
Too...
But
I think
it's
it was
a
necessary,
setup.
Though.
It was a necessary setup because we had to have that in order to have the shot at
yeah,
the
yeah.
end.
I will give you this,
where
Tim.
She throws...
It was a little too perfect.
It's a little too perfect.
A little bit.
It
could have been
okay.
messier.
You know what? Yeah, and I think I would have not really had much of a problem if it was like some sort of like scattery kind of, you know, things are kind of vaguely moving in that direction, or she's noticing it starting
or
to
even
happen.
Even a less perfect spiral.
Yeah, but it's not this perfect little. Do you just? It's like
it was beautiful.
It's like really, really, really. So I get the idea, but it's a little too
zen.
It's a little too, you know. Where's the middle ground? Where's the
right?
It was too perfect. You're right. I'll give you that.
Now. This does give her a chance to have a little more control at the end of the episode
Yes.
Where apparently, if you know, she blasts, she great shockwave.
She's fired upon by this who's he wants this guy.
But however, apparently Bobby's not that concerned about it because he's impaled. By the way, there's a giant chunk of wood sticking out of him, and Bobby's kind of like.
Well, you asked me that one, but
I'm not sure that's her reaction. I mean,
did you see the last shot as she's standing there? She's like, there's a guy over there with a giant metal, with a giant
But here's the thing, though.
She's standing there, and this agent is on the ground with his back to her. So it's possible, I'm gonna allow for the possibility, two things. She doesn't see it yet. And B, she's in complete shock because of what Skye has just done.
Or the third option, she doesn't care because he pulled a gun instead of an icer.
Well, that could be.
That's
like I said, she just doesn't like him.
Well, that could be part of it too. You remember what I said at the end of this? I said Bobby is starting to have her doubts.
Yeah,
Bobby is starting to question. I think tonight did what's happening.
Yep. Yeah, and I'm really kind of curious here because it seems like I'm very, very much to see what happens next week because it seems like we're reaching a point where there is no logical end game where she and Mac come out of this without going, you know, we should have seen this coming.
Yeah. And you know what else we should have seen coming?
Dang, what was that?
Our break.
You mean the break we missed like a long time ago? No,
we didn't miss it.
Oh, wait.
Well, see, the thing about it is, though.
One more thing.
We're free-forming a little bit tonight because there's hardly very much plot.
Yeah.
So we could analyze to death this whole episode just for the entire time.
We're doing it now.
Yes. What was your one other thing?
The one last thing we didn't hit upon was at the very end after she blows the tree up and stops the shot from hitting her and impales this guy with a piece of the tree.
Yes.
Doesn't kill him. Just you know, it's just a splash
It's just a blast of energy, and then it does what it does.
But then she calls for Gordon, the reader, to come help her.
No, she whispers for Gordon.
Yeah.
And he comes, and they disappear, and that was the end.
Well, and the telling thing about that is Gordon says, are you ready to go home?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are we going to finally see Adeline?
We are going to see, if not that, then a home.
Maybe a little trailer park at the edge of town.
A home of the Inhumans, if not the home.
Home is where the heart is.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about that because I have a couple of ideas and a couple of questions on that. And we will discuss that when Level 11D7 continues right after this. Stand by.
Our transmitters are made from hand wavium. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Hi, this is Jason Hunt, and if you're one of the dedicated listeners for this show, first of all, thank you. Second, you are sharing with others, are you not? And you should be aware by now, we have many shows as part of Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Our Marvel discussion on Level 11D7, the DC chat on the Rogues Gallery, Sci-Fi for Chicks talking about various topics, which we also do in mixed company on the Echo Chamber, and H2O, which is our one-on-one discussion between Mr. Harvey and myself, now syndicated over at Amazing Stories Magazine. Sci-Fi for Me Radio is more than one show, and we'd like to invite you to join us for all of it, or at least try it out and see what you think. And also check out Sci-Fi for Me TV, that's our YouTube channel, where we have interviews, convention panel video, and Week in Review, where we deliver a digest of the news of the week. All part of giving you the most bang for your buck. Oh yeah, wait, no, it's free. So check it out, Sci-Fi for Me Radio and Sci-Fi for Me TV, all part of SciFiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
And now, back to Level 11D7, the only 100% Hydra-free podcast on the internet. Hail Hydra.
And we're reviewing episode 52 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was entitled...
No, it's our episode 52.
Our episode 52, yes.
Damn, I was doing so good, too.
Sorry.
So much for my notes.
Sorry.
Our episode.
That's it. We're done. We just can't go on.
That's it. I quit. Somebody else, bring us in.
Good night, folks.
Good night, folks.
It's been
thanks for listening.
So much for the analysis portion.
And
we're
that
done.
Just shut down the entire program.
Yes. You broke it.
I
broke it.
This is why we can't have nice things.
See, right, I take a weekend off, and everything falls apart.
You took a weekend off.
You didn't take a weekend off.
I just couldn't possibly.
I did. I took a weekend. My family was in town, and I took a weekend off. The only thing that we published over the weekend was the Arrow recap, the Grimm recap, and Week in Review, and that was it.
Okay.
And our traffic shows it. That's all I'll say about that. Back to our analysis portion of the show.
Which we did a lot of in the first half.
We did, yeah.
The first it was longer than a half.
And it's easy to do on this episode because it's pretty much A to B to C. And there's not a lot of jumping around in the in the plot this time.
Well, each plot point had its own analysis.
Yeah, well, and things are much more connected in this one. There's a much tighter through line for all of the different pieces of this episode than 'cause you don't have Warden 33, you don't have Dad and the villains in the diner, you don't have all of these other plot threads. You've just got this one that goes through the episode. Mm-hmm. And that raises my point. My question. Because Gordon the Reader comes and grabs Skye and takes her home. Ready to go home? And they go, and they're gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wait, how is that? Thank you.
Yes. It's a technical term.
We have our own sound effects,
it's spelled,
ladies and gentlemen.
It's spelled with four F's.
We have our own Foley department, and it's called Jason
Hunt.
That's really hard to spell.
I actually have a box full of sound effects stuff.
But when you have a mouth like that, who needs it?
Yeah, that's right.
You're like a regular Michael Winslow.
That's it.
Here is my question.
Yes.
Because we have to remember who else is at the facility that Gordon to which just took Skye.
Daddy
is there.
And Raina.
Well, we think they are.
Well
of course
we
they
know,
are.
We know Dad's there.
Mm-hmm. Raina was taken away by the Reader. And it was implied that she was being taken home.
Mm-hmm. But we also have a suggestion, and we saw this in the last scene with Dad. Dad was being taken to what person was in charge?
Right.
The mother.
She.
Her. Yes, she of the female persuasion.
Taking you to the boss.
Mm-hmm.
So are we going to have a nice little family reunion here, maybe?
You're still thinking that Mama's...
I still think she's alive.
It'll make a nice little Christmas dinner, I think.
How do you explain the dead in the ditch?
Because she's inhuman. Because she's an inhuman.
Better.
It's just a flesh wound.
I feel happy.
Come back here. I'm not wrinkles.
Dead yet.
I think...
I hate to point it out to you boys, but there wasn't a whole lot of flesh left.
Well, but she also has an extremely long lifespan, so how do we know? We don't know what kind of regeneration ability she has, or, you know, so I don't
find out next week.
I don't know that I necessarily think that she's still alive, but I think that her legacy is, if certainly, and so there's going to be this.
Who are they taking Dad to go see then?
Well, that's just it. I don't know. They may be looking at Dad as, you know, the husband of our much missed and much loved, you know, person who says,
because
we're
speculating, like just because he's gone, you're making too much noise.
Just because he's gone crazy doesn't mean we shouldn't take care of him.
Now, Wolverine and Deadpool are not in this basic cinematic universe, so they have to have somebody to heal.
Yeah, but we speculated that they could be taking him to go see Medusa, and we figured at that point when we talked about this before. We said it's not likely to be Medusa because there's very little chance they're going to introduce her in the show. They're going to save her for the Inhumans movie. So there's...
Why would they do that?
Because they're going to get a name to play her. And if they cast Medusa now, 4 years out from the movie, no guarantee they're going to have that same actor available when the movie is going to shoot.
Maybe we only see the back of her head.
Well, it could be. It could be, but
could be
that
like
kind
a cameo
of
appearance.
Yeah,
knee.
But that kind of a reveal, though, you're gonna have somebody.
For a knee appearance.
Yeah, but you're gonna have somebody playing that character, and I don't, Medusa's too important of a character in the overall mythology of the Inhumans to be just a cameo, just a one-off, just we don't even see her.
Jason so says I think no it's on Medusa.
I think it's less likely that Dad's being taken to see Medusa. I think it's more likely that he's being taken to see Mom. Mm-hmm. Unless we're going to get introduced to somebody brand new.
Well, wouldn't that be the clincher, though? If she was still alive, for him to have spent the last how many years? Like two
going
decades?
Nutsoid
going nutso trying to vindicate her death.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, now what is his purpose?
You ninny poo,
I mean,
you were
know,
wrong.
You well, want to see a breakdown. This is going to be it right here.
Well, that, then maybe that's what we're headed towards. Maybe.
Well, wouldn't he have already had that in the time that we haven't seen him?
Why
well, see, that's a good
been,
point. That's a good point because
we haven't seen him. For
we haven't
a while
seen that conversation.
Yeah. And it should have taken place a while ago.
Right. Unless we jump back.
That's possible.
And we get pieces of that and move forward from there.
Yeah, that would certainly work. The thing about Mom and her longevity is even back when she was helping the reader come to terms with his new abilities and everything, and whoever was next to her was talking about how grateful they were to have her there to help people go through this transition. And she said, I won't be here forever. And they said, but you have incredible longevity. I won't be here forever.
Well, yeah.
And
I
she
mean,
was talking about
that could
ban.
Mean, that could mean either... And, you know, this goes back to the hero's journey. You have the mentor who at some point has to either die or go away. So she could either be talking about the fact that, well, she's going to die at some point, or she's talking about the fact that at some point she's going to have to leave. So they're on their own and she goes somewhere else and maybe does this someplace else with another group.
Oh, like
it's not necessarily
a branch office kind of thing.
Yeah, she's not necessarily predicting her own death so much as maybe she's either allowing for the possibility she's going to die or she's allowing she's anticipating a point where she's not going to be there because she's got to be someplace else. Her mission is over. Now it's time to move on type of thing. You've grown up enough. Now it's time to go, you know, leave the nest.
Early retirement.
Yeah.
Maybe. Bugger off, kids.
Exactly. Yeah. Go away, you bother me. Get off my lawn.
I'm looking forward to empty nest syndrome. Get out.
That's right.
I'm done paying for you.
So next week, we have more shoot 'em up because Coulson and Hunter have teamed up because May knows where the secret exit is.
Mm-hmm.
And sends Coulson packing.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta get out, Phil.
It was a Get Smart elevator.
It was.
Did you check
it
that
was.
Out?
Yes.
It was right through the fireplace.
And I want to know if it dumped him out in Lola, if he's got Lola with him.
Oh.
I would say no.
Because
Lola was...
Was Lola on the bus?
Lola was on the bus.
Lola's on the bus. All right,
yeah,
never mind.
So.
That would have been a nice little Get Smart callback.
Oh, if there is not a moment next episode where he said, "I've come for my car,"
yeah,
You need.
It probably won't happen, but should be a moment where, well, yeah, I left my car.
So we've got Hunter and Coulson teaming up at the end of the episode in the little coda scene, and Hunter.
I'm liking Hunter more and more.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He's the Han Solo of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep, he is.
You know, he's the rogue. He's looking out for himself. He only cares about himself. He doesn't want to
join.
Except
for when he doesn't. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's got the heart of gold.
Yeah.
Ding. You know, it's that the little lens flare on the teeth.
Yep.
Right. And it's and of course it's all Bobby. You know, he wants another chance with his wife.
Right.
Or ex-wife. Are they still married?
I think they're exes.
Exes.
Are they?
Yeah, they're exes.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. But I think he's also the reason why she's been having so many doubts.
I think
and
so.
Why her,
yeah.
The chinks in her armor have been growing.
Well, I think it's that. I think it's also how everybody is reacting to Skye. Mm-hmm. I think now the gloves have come off.
Literally.
and Bobby's realizing that these two groups, while they're working at cross purposes to each other, their motives might actually be the same.
Yeah, but again, we come back to the. There's something. Gonzalez isn't saying.
Well, actually,
what do you think is in the cargo?
I don't know, but there was something about what Gonzalez said that, and I'm not going to get it verbatim at all. But he said something about Fury having cataloged and so forth really dangerous people, and that we needed to know they were.
People and things.
And
cachet them around the world.
And we need to know where they are and what they're doing. And
he's worried that Fury has socked away some weapons of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Alien weapons.
Which, of course,
maybe.
Yeah, he has.
Which he has.
I mean, that's just a given. Yeah.
Sure.
Well, they even mentioned all the stockpiles of information and stuff that he has all over the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, the cargo is something Hydra, they didn't want Hydra to get hold of, so it's very
valuable.
The
information, I'm wondering what information he's still got, because Black Widow just let it all loose.
Oh, the stuff that he didn't let her put out. The stuff he held
That's
back.
True.
Because you know he held stuff back.
It's Nick Fury.
I didn't tell you everything. Mm-hmm. Wait, I didn't tell you everything. Oh, hang on. Did I mention I didn't tell you
everything? What other stuff do you think he's got socked away?
Weapons of incredible power.
Besides that.
What about people?
Creatures.
Yeah, the location of people, the mm-hmm. location of, you know, I mean.
Entities.
What if there were people in the cargo?
Yeah, there's a lot of different things it could be. There's just something. There's
things of great value, like Beanie Babies.
That's right.
But only the collectible ones.
That's right.
Exactly.
Well, but here's the thing. You don't bring in Edward James Olmos to play a guy who's going to ultimately end up being Phil Coulson's second in command. Okay? Mm-hmm. So there's a confrontation that's going to come to a head, which means his little guest stint on this show is going to be over.
Like Bill Paxton in the first season.
Right. So what is the likely solution here? That he sits there and goes, "You're right, Phil. I was wrong. Carry on."
Well, he did admit tonight he was wrong about something. It's not beyond him.
But this is cool.
You're right, yeah.
There.
So I think that there's...
I wanted to see the look on your face.
I will be happy to be wrong, because I don't want Commander Adama to be the bad guy.
What are the chances, given the fact that it's Edward James Olmos, what are the chances that he becomes the new director? Because Coulson didn't want it in the first place, remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Almost, Gonzalez becomes the new director, and they set that up for Secret Avengers. And Coulson becomes the leader of Secret Avengers as a group of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents under Gonzalez's command.
I would be perfectly fine with that, because it also gives you the opportunity to bring that character back when... Mm-hmm.
When
things go sideways again.
Right. Well, and where when schedules allow and that sort of thing, and
that also frees him up to show up in the movies.
Right,
and it puts Coulson back to where he was originally, where he was the fan favorite.
Because as far as being a director right now, he's in the field way too much.
Yep.
You should not. You know, it's
right.
It's the Jim Kirk syndrome.
Well, he's also got such a small crew. He doesn't really have much
but
of a choice.
But he doesn't have a small crew. Tonight was an other example of that. All of a sudden, you've got all these S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, and you.
But he's been recruiting though.
That's true.
Yeah,
but I think
somewhere.
I think you're right though. I think it is Jim Kirk syndrome, where you've got lead from the front type of thing. It's that cowboy mentality.
Well,
he's not used to being. And behind a desk.
He's not a pencil pusher.
But
exactly.
It's the same thing that happened with Star Trek The Next Generation. Is that the whole premise was you're going to send Will Riker down to the surface to be the dramatic hero, and Picard was going to stay on the ship.
Right.
How well did that work? Because your hero character ends up being like, wow.
Sidelined.
Our hero is in his office going, I'm waiting for the situation update.
There are four lights.
What he's doing is saying, T. hot Earl Grey.
Exactly. Yeah. So you mean, this is not exactly known for its high dramatic potential. It's watching Phil Coulson stare at a monitor. You know, it's just like while May's out there kicking butt, come back to Phil staring at the monitor going.
Only to see him playing Galaga.
Like the music.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, come on. So yeah, I mean, it's in terms of, you know, reality versus narrative storytelling. So at some point you sit there and go, yeah, come on, okay.
He can only stay on hold while Natasha does her thing only so many times.
Right. Right. Yeah.
It was a fun bit in the Avengers, but we couldn't stand to see it every single week.
No, and I think that there is, I think that you either have to bring S.H.I.E.L.D. back in a big way, or you have to leave it underground for much, much longer than I think we were thinking they're going to leave S.H.I.E.L.D. underground. I mean, because we were, when with Civil War, I mean, were they really going to keep S.H.I.E.L.D. a secret organization again? You know, this new S.H.I.E.L.D. until Civil War rolls around in the next movie.
I wonder. Now, let me get you guys to think on this one for a second and give me your reaction. I wonder if real S.H.I.E.L.D. Gonza S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be the agency through which they administer the Registration Act.
Mm. Hmm. Well, that's what I was thinking when he was talking with Coulson. Mm-hmm. That's that's what he sounded like to me.
Right.
Was that he wanted to know names and addresses. And
because there is a list of the specials. There's a list of the people with the abilities. Is there also a list of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents who went to ground, went into hiding, whoever is on Coulson's recruiting list, you know, maybe that's another list that they're after. Mm-hmm. But I think the registry is probably what they're looking for, because it's a precursor to whatever's going to happen in Civil War.
And then would that whole concept break up Coulson's own team with Simmons?
I think it's a possibility, yeah.
Simmons would be on the registration side, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I think so.
Well, so far she would.
Fitz would not.
Right.
Although we saw a little reconciliation between those two tonight.
A little bit.
She actually called him Leo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's happened before, has it?
Mm, well,
yeah, it's a few times.
It's rare. But I think it was interesting that she called him Leo, because there is that separation.
Right.
Because when she said it, it was right after he called her on the whole science experiment thing.
So you think she's manipulating him?
No, I think she's I think she's talking down to him. I think she's trying to put him in his place. It's like, I'm trying to help Leo. You know, she calls him Fitz when they're getting along. She calls him Fitz.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that was one of those.
See, I didn't get that at all.
I didn't either.
I didn't.
That's what I heard.
It sounded to be a little more personal.
You could be right, but I don't. It felt more like she was like, you know,
trying to reconcile a bit.
It felt more endearing to me.
We'll see, but yeah.
Had she used his middle name too, then it would have been a big trouble.
Yeah,
Leopold Fitzpatrick.
What is his middle name? Tolstoy?
I'm still waiting for the monkey to show up.
His middle name is Fitzpatrick, so it's Leopold Fitz.
Oh. Well, that fits.
See? That's what I'm telling you.
Oh, well, that makes more sense now. That's what he says, right?
Total sense.
See? That's what I'm here for, to clear it all up for you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
My work here is done.
What monkey are you waiting for?
Early in the first season?
Yeah.
When was it? Fitz had said something. It was a toss away line, something about wanting a pet monkey.
Oh.
And who is it that's been, was it Brian Michael Bendis who's been writing some of the tie-in,
I think so,
little tie-in comic books?
Yeah.
Fitz has actually developed an AI
monkey
that is a virtual reality simulated monkey. You know, it's a holographic monkey.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't showed up at the show yet, but it's just one of those little
It's just a matter of time.
Things that happen. He's got a holographic monkey in some of the comic book stuff.
A one-off line that gets extrapolated on.
Yeah.
Well, because fans latched onto it. They're like, "Oh, when are we going to see Fitz's monkey? When are we going to see the monkey?" Well, we haven't yet.
You know what? Gemma could make him a holographic monkey as a peace offering.
She'll make him a Daggett.
Oh God, no. No.
And it'll be a monkey dressed as a Daggett.
No, okay.
Buffy.
She can make the Daggett, but the Daggett has to leave with Edward James Olmos. They need to walk off into the sunset together.
I didn't even think about that.
That's what's got to happen. So,
that's more brilliant than I thought it was the first time.
My work here is done. Dun, dun, dun.
Well, I can dag it.
Because that's...
Oh. Maya, you're closer. You hit him.
That's two Battlestar Galactica references
there. You're
together.
Welcome.
I know.
I like that.
Sorry.
On that note,
So, predictions for the rest of the season.
Whoa.
I think we will have a rest of the season.
I disagree.
I think there will be some gunplay.
I disagree.
You're being a disagreeable sort of
guy. I disagree.
Well, the thing is, somebody needs to take up a contrary position, and tonight that is Tim.
I guess so.
Yes.
Hey, you didn't disagree on that.
I disagree.
Well, we've got Hunter and Coulson are going to be off the reservation. They're doing their own thing.
They're palling up.
Right. They're going rogue.
They're going on a road trip. Yeah.
Besides the humor bit, do you think there was any significance to all the umbrellas and the drinks?
No. I think it was just a gag.
Humor.
Okay.
It's a very Coulson-y thing to do, and it's a very Hunter
thing
to
do. We don't get enough of that side of Coulson anymore.
Well,
which is one of the reasons why I think maybe he won't be director for very much longer. He'll let somebody else do it, and he can just go back to being Coulson.
I got the idea. I mean, it looked like Coulson got all the umbrellas in his drink because Hunter had been ordering them, and he liked all the umbrellas in the drink.
That could be. But no. I think it was just a gag.
Because he basically was just arriving.
Yeah, I think.
He said you can't predict where that.
Right. Which, by the way, if you happen to
you
be,
you can't steer those, right?
If you happen to be like you should be able to steer those. That's one thing. That's the one thing. The other thing is that if you happen to be, I don't know, like a pretty large spy agency, and you happen to have a bunch of escape pod type thingy, wouldn't it be a good idea to put tracking devices in the damn things? That might be a good idea.
You know, those things can be turned off.
Yeah, but you know what?
Those darn EMPs.
It's like, we can't track him. Why not? What's wrong with you? Yeah.
What? Hold your fire.
Is your stuff
broken?
There's
nobody aboard.
Exactly. Oh, wait.
Must have been a malfunction.
Yeah, you read the script. Never mind. Yes.
It has a defective operating system.
That's right.
Right.
Some Microsoft thing. I don't know.
We're running off Windows 2000. And
or Windows 8.
8.1.
No, this is, Shield did come out of a government project, so they are probably, they're on XP. You know they're on XP.
They're probably still on Windows 95. Now, that would be horrible.
Actually, Windows 95 was very stable.
At the end, it was very stable. At the very end, which hardly anybody ever got to use that version.
95 was much better than Vista, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, Vista's fine now. When they rolled Vista out, yes, it was a disaster. But then again, that's pretty much every piece of software that happens. Ask a gamer about the first day of buying their game. It's like, yeah, I'm waiting for the patches because it's like,
and we digress.
Well,
but it does raise a good point because you're right. Those escape pods,
they were waiting for the patches.
They probably do have a beacon, and he would have had to have disabled it.
Or they've tracked him all this time. Dun dun dun.
They're just gonna pick him up when he
meets
up with the
they're gonna pay the tab.
Here's the thing.
They'll be waiting outside.
Fury hid all these other things around the world. They're probably tracking him to see if he tracks those down.
It could be.
Let him be the one to find them.
Okay, now let's clarify really quick. Who's got the box at this point?
Coulson has the box at this point.
No, no, he doesn't.
No, they give
Gonzalez
it to
Fitzsimmons. Gonzalez has it and gave it to Fitzsimmons.
Yeah.
So they can open it.
Yes, right. Yes. He did.
He sent it down to have
Fitzsimmons and somebody else.
It left the room before May came in. That's right.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so Fitz and Simmons have the box.
With somebody else.
Agent Weaver.
Weaver, yeah.
So they've got the box.
They will be
on a delaying tactic to open the box. They will delay.
Or
that could be the cliffhanger to the end of the season.
Or they co-opt Weaver into helping them get the box back to Coulson.
Yeah.
Because Weaver has a connection to Fitz and Simmons that's different, that's separate from Weaver's connection to Gonzalo.
She's bought into the mindset, and she doesn't, you know, and
as far as we know.
Well, yeah, but the thing is that you either
drink the Kool-Aid or you don't.
Right. And it may be perfectly legitimate Kool-Aid as opposed to, you know, this Kool-Aid tastes funny.
Could be.
Well, I think they kind of blew that legitimacy tonight.
That's because it's Powerade.
The guns versus the icers. And
it's going to be really interesting. It's going to see what they play out, because this is the kind of stuff that it's setting off alarm bells for us.
Right.
But we also know that every now and again, TV shows...
Oh, the red herrings?
Well, it's like they don't even think about these things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, they were supposed to be using icers. Oh, well, we don't have time to reshoot.
Well, it could be, and it could very well be, and we, remember, it's a Whedon show. It could very well be that Coulson's team is in the wrong.
It could.
It's a very remote possibility.
Up until tonight, I kept that possibility open. But now I think there's some ulterior motives.
Gonzalez's whole speech was basically, you know,
has something else. He has another agenda.
And even if it's just, I don't trust you because you've got alien goo in you now, and you're supposed to be dead, and this is not something that's supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a certain logic to going, you know, dead is dead, right? Yeah. And one of the complaints about the Marvel Universe is that there is no death. There is no, I mean, there's no, in the cinematic universe, nobody has died. Not really.
Not,
I mean,
permanently.
None of our heroes have actually died.
Right.
You know, and the big dramatic sacrifice of Phil Coulson's death in Avengers.
Is then nixed, totally nullified.
It's going to be totally nullified. So at some point, death has got to come to the Marvel Universe in a resonant way.
Well,
what,
in
you mean
the
like
theory.
Nick Fury?
The theory is.
He didn't
he's
die
not dead either.
Either.
The theory is that Thor is going to die in Age of Ultron. And it'll be the setup for Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
Because he'll be dead.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole afterlife war thing is that setup.
Right. That's one of the theories, yes.
That's one of the theories. Yeah. Because
But you know what's going to happen? You get to the end of, you get to, you know,
the end of Ragnarok, he's going to be
back. He's back alive. Yeah. So, again,
unless he
and
gets
death
replaced.
Death shall have no dominion
unless,
over.
Unless Thor dies and he stays dead at the end of Ragnarok and we get another Thor. Lady Thor, female Thor,
who has
the name now. Now, granted, Thor is not dead in the comic books. Odin's son Thor is not dead in the comics.
Right.
So, and at some point, he's going to redeem himself, and he'll be Thor again. He'll have Mjolnir and all.
But in the comic books, there's been multiple people who have welded the hammer. So, so
but
you could
none
get...
of them have carried the name Thor.
Bring me Beta Ray Bill. That's all I ask.
Oh, yeah.
Give me,
he can be the next Thor.
Give me three movies of Beta Ray Bill. I'll be a happy guy.
That'll be fun.
Well, wasn't he in the collector's collection?
No. James Gunn addressed that, and he said that was not him.
Somebody of his race.
He said it was not him.
Okay.
So take that for what it's worth. I don't know. Yeah, it would be interesting to see. Because you're right. Yeah, somebody needs to die.
Right.
And needs to stay dead.
And unfortunately, it has to be a character we like.
It'll be Captain America.
Well, that's actually the best argument right there for that character actually really dying in there, so that Bucky can take up the role.
Right.
Or actually, in this case, because they did a very good job in casting Falcon.
Yeah.
See, I have a problem with what they've done in the comics with him. Because Falcon is his own hero. He's got an identity. He's got a code name. He's got a power set. He is his own character.
Mm-hmm.
And to make him the next Captain America, the Black Captain America, or whatever, you know, with second, third, fourth, whatever Captain America, the legacy character,
mm-hmm.
I think diminishes the hero that he is as Falcon.
Well, Falcon can communicate with birds, so he needs to get a pet bald eagle.
Yeah, but we don't have that power set established in the cinematic universe.
Not the cinematic.
Yet. Well, and I don't think we will.
No, so, look, odds are very, very good that what they will do is they will bring Bucky into the role.
Right. Okay. I think Bucky's going to be the, because he's got a multiple picture deal.
Right. And not only the fact that, I mean, that was a established comic book storyline that gives you the lovely, lovely opportunity to bring back, if not a certain actor currently playing the role of Captain America, you can recast later and have it be, you know, and he's back.
Yeah.
And everyone goes, well, Chris Evans retired from acting, or he's directing, or but whatever death, he's doing.
The death of Captain America figures into Civil War, though.
Yeah, except Civil War is going to be its own thing. It has to be. We don't have the context for Civil War to be anything.
That's the opportunity that you can do.
Oh yeah, he can die at the end of Civil War, and then Bucky becomes. But the thing about having Sam become Captain America in the movies is that again you have the opportunity. Three pictures down the line to have him pick up the mantle.
Right.
In the movie universe. And you can keep, if as long as superhero films are still working, you can keep Captain America going and recast every three films and sit there and go, let's see, that's 1, 2, that's 9. Carry the 12. Divide by 4. Our grandkids are watching another new Captain America film because you know, you can keep recasting. It's a good model, assuming that the bottom doesn't fall out.
Sure. I still want to see David Hasselhoff in a Nick Fury cameo.
Yes.
And I want to be taller. Things just aren't happening.
And on that note, we will wrap up this particular episode of Level 117.
I never knew you wanted to be taller.
Well, what?
That's why they make risers for shoes.
Then you'd have to dust the top of your refrigerator.
Yeah.
Well,
why would you want to do that?
I dust the top of my refrigerator. What I was talking about.
Just throw the cat up there.
What is wrong with you?
I've got cats. I mean, come on. It's like, you know, there's a layer of hair over everything. I have to dust the top of the refrigerator.
It's the ultimate accessory, right? Cat hair. Okay, that's going to do it for us. If you have a theory on or any predictions or thoughts on this episode or the rest of the season or whatnot, you can drop us a line. You can leave a comment or you can send us an email, level1117@scififorme.com. One of these days, I'm going to get through this without making any kind of mistake. And it'll probably be our very, very last show ever. On the social media, we are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, YouTube, Google+. And you can, like we said at the beginning of the show, if you are listening to this because somebody shared the link with you, you can subscribe yourself. If you have iTunes, you can find us there. Just look for Sci-Fi From Your Radio. We're also through the Android devices, the apps OneCast, Double Twist, or Stitcher. You can find us there as well. And, of course, we have an RSS feed over at our main site where you can listen to every single podcast ever.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Just go there and you can subscribe. And also, if you want, you could subscribe to scififorme.com. There's a place there where you can sign up to get alerts every time we post new articles. And that's going to do it for us. Maya Aides.
Good night.
Kemi Settle.
Good night.
Dan Handley.
Good night.
Tim Harvey.
I disagree.
There's got to be one in every crowd.
That's right, Mr. Bad Apple over there. All right, my name is Jason Hunt. Thank you very much for listening this week. We will be back next week with another episode of Level 117.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com.
Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.